Forever Dog.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And welcome to our podcast,
Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod.
It is a scary but funny podcast about funny but scary things. And it's very chatty, and one of us is a woman and one of us is gay. So
yes.
If any of that feels like it's going to flood you, you can go run into a field right now. It's up to you.
I really support running into a field if that's going to trouble you.
I want to say it's always an option, but I guess I, you know, fields aren't always nearby. But you can do the equivalent of a – there's always like a parking lot, which is –
yes. Yeah, like an empty – a church parking lot or like an off-season farmer's market.
And there's two ways to run into a field for anyone who's curious. One is the old classic with your arms up sort of flailing like, like that. And then this is something that requires a little bit of advanced preparation, but I do think it's worth it. If you have a big – heavy skirts that reach the floor, put them all on, one over the other, hoist them up with your hands, and then run with leading with your shoulders one at a time, going.
and both of those are Stephen Gammell illustrations, Anna. And so
they
that
are.
Feels right.
They are. And that's just legal. You're allowed to do that.
I know. This is all part of the plan, everybody.
It certainly is.
Anna, how are your dog days of summer going?
I love the dog days of summer.
Yeah,
They're going really good. I'm a procrastinator, so I'm always like, fuck, I gotta go to the beach. Fuck. So I've been going to the beach.
Good.
Yeah. How about you?
Good. Ongoing. Moving out of the farmal ancestral farmal. Wow.
Farmal ancestral.
This
the
is
farmal land.
This is the revelation that this whole time my name has been Andrew Farmal, but it was too silly sounding, so I changed it to Farmer.
Oh my god!
And that was the greb of the day, everybody.
That was the greb of the day, Farmal.
Still packing up the farmer ancestral home, or at least the farmer ancestral home of the past 24 years. And I've really been delighted, Anna, to come across some Scary Stories books that I had forgotten about. Kind of the redheaded step-sibling of the Scary Stories Tell in the Dark series.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Would you tell us about it?
Okay, so there's a whole series called Tales for the Midnight Hour,
which is,
I would say, more – it probably appeals more to Generation Xers. It's kind of like early 80s, no illustrations. But
do it yourself.
Do it yourself. But they're like the stories are deeply chilling. There's one about a runaway, and he comes across like what appears to be like a railroad hobo, but the railroad hobo has like an egg for a head. How scary!
God, that's like the kind of scary I didn't know to be looking out for. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Someone. I was going to say egg could be a head. I didn't know someone's head could be an egg.
I know. And also that their egg could be a head.
That's true.
And then the other series, I mean, of course, like Goosebumps had like – Earl Stein had like his short stories. But then the other is an illustrated series called Scary Stories for Sleepovers. My God, those stories go so hard. I was reading a couple last night because I was thinking of giving them to one of my nieces. And I was like, I think this is irresponsible to give to a person below the age of 16. Not because of like anything untoward, but yeah, just stuff like in every story, like a parent is found dead at the bottom of a like staircase, or like there's this one called like the Hermit of Death, whatever. And it's about kids. It's like it's told through dueling points of view where it's like kids being like, we're gonna explore this old hermit's cabin in the middle of like on the side of a mountain. And then the hermit is taken to the hospital and he's like, no one can go in the cabin. I'm trying to protect the children. And then Anna, the hermit dies in the story. And his ghost tries to go warn the kids about what's in the cabin, but they can't hear him. And then the kids get sucked into a cave by an undescribed force. And that's the end of the story.
With no explanation?
No.
That's insane.
It's the worst. And then it's like, and then like the story ends with like a third layer, which is the doctor and the nurse being like, I wonder why that old hermit who was brought in said, no, please, boys, stop before he died. And then the doctor's like, probably just delusions. And I was like, I read this when I was 9 years old. What was going on?
That it's so funny you bring that up because like, I guess I didn't realize, like, I always thought that the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark books were very spooky and like the amount of spooky that things could be. But I guess I'm realizing now hearing about these stories that they were following certain like ground rules.
Yes.
That these books clearly are not following. Like, right. It's not about parents dying. It's not about like, I don't know. They were following the rule of don't have that hermit story exist. Yeah. It's really haunting.
I know. I know. And it's like, these are all very good. They're just, they're like very Stephen King-esque. I think maybe before a child's brain is ready for that.
That's true. I did. I famously saw The Shining at 10, and it was too much to sit with your father and both pretend that you don't see rotting old titties. You shouldn't have to do that till at least 20.
I do, Anna. I think that probably something you and I have in common, and anyone who appreciates this podcast, is the fact that they all watched that scene from The Shining with their dads, and they all saw rotting breasts. At once and had to not talk about it. I think that is the universal experience shared by everyone who listens to this podcast.
I pretended that I wasn't a person and that I didn't know what things were.
Yes.
Where it's just like, interesting.
That's we both quietly disassociated and were like, what if I was a saint? I think that's what happened to both of us.
I was always thinking, what if I was a saint?
Yeah.
Famously, that's the first job I ever wanted was saint. And then crossing guard. Wow, we're the same child.
I'm
so
really
glad we found each other.
We really found each other and then had a podcast.
Andrew, you want to give it you want to give it to him?
I do want to give it to him, everybody. So we're doing Campfire Listener Tales this summer. And Anna, I've really gone kind of far back in time with this one. We received this one a long time ago. I was about to say dust buckets.
Excuse me. We are dust buckets. I got offended and then I realized it was true.
I know. Wow. I've never heard that term before. In any event, we don't get to every story. We promise we're slogging through as best we can. We're a two-person operation here, everybody. But I was intrigued by this subject line, which is mysterious radio program. Hi, Anna and Andrew. My partner and I love your podcast. We just started listening not all that long ago, so we have a lot of catching up to do. But we're both still working from home and averaging 2 to 3 episodes a day.
Oh.
So we'll get caught up sometime. Holy smokes.
Let's be careful.
Well, yeah, please do be careful. Listen responsibly. This is a scary thing that really happened to me recently. I kept hearing your voices saying, that could happen, in my head while it was happening, so I've written this as a scary idea for a thing that did, in fact, happen.
Okay.
I like this. Format shift. Okay.
Excited.
You have been visiting your parents for the first time since the start of the pandemic, and you were driving alone down a particularly remote section of Highway 1 in the middle of the night. You haven't been able to get the USB port in the rental car to work, so your only listening option is whatever local radio stations you can pick up on your car stereo. You switch the radio on and hit the scan button. It's silent for a long time as the stereo display scrolls through all of the FM wavelengths once, twice. Suddenly, from your car speakers, sound is blaring. At first, you can't quite understand what you are hearing. You pull over by the side of the road just to be sure. The sound coming from your radio is a medley from the game Mario 64, played by an enthusiastic kazoo ensemble. Afraid that you may have actually swerved off the road and might be lying in a ditch somewhere, you text your friends to tell them what you're experiencing. The Mario 64 medley ends and is immediately followed by a rendition of another song you don't recognize, also on kazoo. As you finally pull into your parents' driveway, amused and unsettled at the same time, the music fades and a voice comes on. The DJ introduces themselves as a student from the local high school. you recall that the high school does, in fact, have a student radio program that began after you graduated. You breathe a sigh of relief. It is a little strange for a high school student to be broadcasting kazoo music at 9:30 p.m., yes, but when you grow up in a tiny town, you get your kicks however you can. You text your friends again, walk to the house, and go to sleep. A few days later, you are back at home recalling the story of the late-night kazoo tunes to your partner. Just for fun, you look up the high school radio station's website, thinking maybe it would be funny to stream their program again next week. You pull up the schedule on your laptop and scroll through their offerings until you get to the day and time you were driving. But then, to your horror, you notice the slot for Friday night at 9:30 is empty. Oh. That could happen.
That could happen. Kazoo ghost?
And this is signed from Elon, they, them, theirs. Wow. This is a fraught situation, Anna.
Andrew, I think that this story could be in one of the books that you just found.
I agree. This one, as I'm reading it, like the twists and turns, the gentle balloon of swelling dread is really palpable.
Tag yourself if you're a gentle balloon of swelling dread. Yeah, like I didn't know that I should be afraid of a kazoo radio station.
Well, that's what's so funny. I think to me, what is satisfying about this story and what is scary about it is I love when scary is not trying to be scary, you know? Like,
yeah.
So at first, this is just like, what a silly, inexplicable thing. Then the revelation that there was no planned kazoo ensemble performance for that time. I mean, do we think ghosts?
I certainly think ghosts. I think there was a kazoo club years ago and they all died in a big kazoo fire and their kazoos melted.
I mean, we all know kazoos are highly flammable.
They are. They're made out of oil. out of petrol.
Anna, I just realized in my head, I know what a kazoo is, everybody, but I had mixed up kazoos and finger traps. And
oh.
I know they're different, but I was thinking that finger traps probably are very flammable.
When you heard the story, you were picturing this sound?
I knew the kazoo sound. But I just thought in my head that they look the same, and now I know that they don't.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, that's true. It is funny. This is just a side note. If you guys have ever seen one-star reviews for kazoos online, the people say, I blew into it and it didn't make a damn sound. These things don't work. I bought a – like, and there's like
– oh, my God.
A box of 100 party kazoos and people saying, I blew each one of them and none of them made a sound.
Oh my God, Anna.
Because people don't know you have to hum.
Nothing is more soul-shatteringly chilling to me than imagining an adult going through a whole box of party favor kazoos and just going, whoo, whoo. Like, that is so funny to me.
It really is like a treatise on the futility of existence. It really is.
My niece, one time, it was very tricky trying to explain to her how to blow bubbles because she would kind of speak into the bubble. She would go like, oh, like she'd understand that you have to blow. She was just going like, oh, it wasn't happening.
Wow, now I have a new goal. Whenever I blow a bubble, I want to fill it with sound.
But Anna, so creepy radio stations got me thinking. And I remember that a mutual friend of ours, Anna Abhow Elliott, did a project kind of inspired by unexplained radio stations.
No way.
And Anna some time ago pointed me in the direction of this Russian ghostly radio station. And I found a BBC article about it that is titled MDZHB has been broadcasting since 1981. No one knows why.
Oh.
And this is from BBC.com.
Read it to me.
Okay. It's by Zarya Gorvit.
Perfect.
In the middle of a Russian swampland, not far from the city of St. Petersburg, is a rectangular iron gate. Beyond its rusted bars is a collection of radio towers, abandoned buildings, and power lines bordered by a dry stone wall. The sinister location is the focus of a mystery which stretches back to the height of the Cold War. It is thought to be the headquarters of a radio station, MDZHB, that no one has ever claimed to run.
Oh.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the last 3.5 decades, it's been broadcasting a dull, monotonous tone. Every few seconds, it's joined by a second sound like some ghostly ship sounding its foghorn. Then the drone continues. Once or twice a week, a man or woman will read out some words in Russian, such as dinghy or farming specialist. And that's it. Anyone, anywhere in the world can listen in simply by tuning a radio to the frequency 4625 KHZ. I know that's like, is it kilohertz? I don't know. Don't make fun.
Andrew, that sounds like science to me.
Thank you. It's so enigmatic. It's as if it was designed with conspiracy theorists in mind. Today, the station has an online following, numbering in the tens of thousands, who know it affectionately as the Buzzer. It joins two similar mystery stations, the Pip and the Squeaky Wheel. As their fans readily admit themselves, they have absolutely no idea what they're listening to. And it goes on to be like all these theories. One is a thought that actually it exists so that if there was a nuclear bomb that would disrupt the broadcast, it would trigger another nuclear bomb to be fired at the United States.
Oh, no.
Yeah, which is a little creepy. And that theory is known as a dead hand signal, which is very scary.
Oh, no. Who is doing this?
I mean, I would like to know who got on Actors Access and was called in to Russia to say the Russian words for farming specialist and dinghy.
Farming specialist and dinghy. I'd be so thrilled to hear that. If those were the last things I heard before being incinerated by a nuclear bomb, I'd be fine with it. I'm just looking on the Wikipedia page, which is a book.
Yes.
Under the section voice messages, sometimes the buzzing sound is interrupted by a voice, as you said, a voice message is broadcast. They were thought to be very rare until 2010, when listeners reported increased activity of the station, spurring on further monitoring and allowing listeners to catch more of the messages, which otherwise would have gone unnoticed. On June 5th, 2010, it went silent for approximately 24 hours, resuming the normal buzzing pattern on the morning of June 6th. And then on August 23rd, a voice message was broadcast. UVB 76 UVB 76 93 82 9 14 35 74 93 82 Nikolai Anna Ivan Mikhail Ivan Nikolai Anna 74 14 35 74.
Anna, I mean, do you feel heartened or troubled that you're involved in this?
I feel sort of relieved that Naimina came before Nikolai, Anna, Ivan, like it's spelling it out.
I know. It's like
you say G for giraffe or whatever. I feel a lot more settled.
In a weird sort of way, it feels like this could be Tyra Banks naming people who are on the current season of America's Next Top Model. Naimina sounds very much like someone who would win.
Oh my God, Naima, remember?
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Oh, Naima was one of my favorites.
Naima, we send our blessings.
What is Naima up to? Big fan.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to Google it because I can't handle it if it's not peace.
I loved on America's Next Top Model whenever they did like animal photo shoots.
Oh, yeah.
And you could kind of tell who they were really screwing over. Where I think like Naima, they were like, you're a cheetah. And then for another contestant, they were like, you're an elephant. It was just like, oh, man, the jig is up.
Oh, God. And elephants can be and they try to sell it like now elephants could be actually really sexy. Yes. And then it cut to a 19-year-old who's looking at her like, you have ruined my fucking life.
I know. Cut to just fecal matter pouring out of an elephant's butt. Being like, oh, yeah. Interesting. Yes.
So I'm sorry. I'm going down to unusual transmissions. Good. On the Wikipedia page. Distant conversations and other background noises have frequently been heard behind the buzzer, suggesting that the buzzing tones are not generated internally, but are transmitted from a device placed behind a live and constantly open microphone.
Oh, God.
Because of the occasional fluctuating pitch of the buzzing tones, it is supposed that the tones are generated by a tone wheel as used in a Hammond organ. It is also possible that the microphone may have been turned on accidentally.
Oh, wow.
Okay. On one such occasion was on November 3rd, 2001, when a conversation in Russian was heard. And then it has it in Russian. And then the English translation is extremely Andrew Farmer. Are you ready?
Please.
I am 143. Not receiving the generator oscillator. ... The stuff that comes from the hardware room.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's my like backline contribution in a group improv scene.
That is stuff that comes from the hardware room. Nailed it.
I'm very tickled that Russian spies or radio ghosts are the result of just an accidental hot mic.
I like that too.
My parents, my mom has truly never said a negative word about anybody behind their back. They were working with like, you know, they work with like one of like 12 different realtors. And my mom just like made a comment about one time the realtor was like, I really got to wrap this up because I do have a nail appointment in a little bit. And which my mom was like, just like, don't tell me that. Just you can say like, I have a client meeting or just I have a meeting or, but she's like, but it feels weird when you're like rushing.
I have to leave by a certain time.
Right. Yeah. That's all like, you have to say.
The end.
And my mom made like the gentlest joke. Where she was like, something came about the realtor and she was like, well, you know, she was late. Like, she's probably running to another nail appointment. And then all of a sudden from her pocket, we heard like, what? And she had accidentally called the realtor. And the realtor had heard the conversation.
Oh, my God.
And my mom was like, well, you know, that is what I get for a talk. And it's like, no, that is, it truly was the softballest, like gentle ribbing imaginable. But she was like, I really feel like I betrayed her.
That has never happened to a single person aside from her. And she learned the wrong lesson.
I know. And we're not sure whether like Siri like heard the name and then called the person, which is everyone's nightmare, or whether just like my mom's pocket had it out for her and was like, I'm going to pocket dial the worst person to overhear this conversation. Everyone's nightmare.
That's a mom version of a Russian spy radio station mystery.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Ilan, thank you so much for this story. It really is a tremendous one.
Oh yeah. Thank you so much. And thanks for listening.
Yes. And thanks for listening to the full Mario 64. I mean, I'm kind of intrigued by what that would sound like because I do love that Mario 64 music.
Could you do it for me?
I mean, okay, the one that jumps to mind first is the underwater theme, which is like do 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 do. Do, 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 do. It's very, very calming. Ooh. It's very spa-like music.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that, Andrew. Sorry You're to welcome. Put you on the spot, by the way.
No, I mean, I could keep going.
That's great. Wow, I would love to hear that on kazoo.
I know. I'm really fascinated. I feel like maybe we'll get some kazoo enthusiasts maybe with their renditions.
I'm just going to Google Mario N64 kazoo.
What if we crack this case wide open right now?
No, it's bringing me to Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh.
No. No, it's a mystery.
Banjo-Kazooie, but that's not what we want right now.
I'm relieved that it's still a mystery. I have to say, I was worried I was going to ruin it for everyone.
I know. Anna, I do think it might be time for our favorite segment in the spirit of this message we've just gotten. Scary ideas for things that could happen.
Andrew, would you like to go first or second?
I think I'd like to go first.
Okay.
You have just purchased your first rocking chair. And something about purchasing a rocking chair makes you feel like you are an adult, that somehow you've transitioned into a new way of being, the type of person who just likes to sit back, relax, and gently sway forward and back. But you sit down in the chair, and all of a sudden, you realize that your hair on top of your head has grown and is becoming permed. And then you realize there are scarves that have erupted from your wrists, and that your face is filled with hastily put on makeup. And you realize that the chair has transformed you into Dee Snider, the lead singer of Twisted Sister, and that instead of purchasing a rocking chair, you have purchased a rocking chair. That could happen.
It could happen.
Did you ever even think to ask whether it was a rocking chair in terms of swaying or a rocking in terms of musical intensity?
I bet you didn't. And that's why you're Dee Snider.
That's why you're Dee Snider. And now Andrew, you got Dee Snider.
Good story. I very briefly followed Dee Snider on Twitter after I listened to a You're Wrong About podcast about the whole Tipper Gore, like,
oh, right,
explicit music. And he testified before Congress and sounded so smart.
Wow.
And I was like, I got to follow this guy because he's from Long Island. And I was like, he's going to follow me back. And then he never did. And it was only him being like retweeting nice compliments from fans and being like, thank you so much. I hope you're having a good day. And I was like, that's not why I'm on Twitter. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's very sweet. I'm heartened to hear that.
Oh, good. Okay. You are ice skating on a giant river. And you're skating and you're skating, and the river is pitched slightly downhill, so you're going really fast. And just as you come around a turn, you almost lose your balance. You regain it. And then, as you're feeling good about yourself, out of the corner of your eye, you see a blur of Joni Mitchell. Out of the corner of your eye, and she's looking at you, gritting her hands and going, I wish I had that.
that could happen. Wow, it's a musical themed scary ideas for things that can happen today.
We did it.
And the radio station from Elon Story. Wow.
We did it.
We stumbled into
this. It's all about sounds today.
It is all about sounds today on
music,
this podcast.
Music and music. Anything can be music.
I would love for Joni Mitchell to be in some sort of spooky film.
Make it happen, everybody.
Or just to hear a ghost story from her. I feel like a ghost story from Joni Mitchell would be like, Bob Dylan threw a heavy box of greeting cards at me. And then I saw the ghost of the mad monk Rasputin, and then she would move on to some like not so interesting thing. But you'd be like, I'm just gonna let this go.
She'd be on the phone with her business manager, and you'd be like, this is a letdown. Yeah, I definitely could see her being like, no, I don't have any ghost stories. Well, of course I see ghosts all the time, but you know, that's not scary.
In a way, it's very Irene Dresden.
Yes, very much. Yeah. And with that, thank you all for listening. You can subscribe on your own hand.
Yes, you can.
If you push your index finger and then all of your other fingers at the same time and then your index finger again, that will leave us a 5-star review on Twitter. And then if you go to the bathroom, and regardless of whether or not anything comes out, that will be you emailing us your scary stories. At scarystorypod@gmail.com.
That's true.
Or going to the bathroom. We get the email every time.
I know. It's really jarring.
It is. And another thing you can do?
Get out.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Produced by Tracy Soren. Original theme music by Chris Ryan. Cover art by Bats Langley. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.